It may well be said that the coming of the railway was the beginning of Eastbourne as we know it today. The vital day was the 14th of May 1849. The railway from London had been approaching Eastbourne over a number of years. The line reached Brighton in 1841, then from Brighton to Lewes and on to St. Leonard's via Polegate in 1846. Between 1846 and 1849, Eastbourne passengers had to start or complete their journey by coach between the town and Polegate. The arrival of the railway gave the necessary impetus to the two major landowners of Eastbourne to commence the great estate developments that occupied the attention of the town throughout the second half of the 19th century and well into the present century. At the time when the first train puffed into our quiet town, the owner of the largest division of the land was the second Earl of Burlington, who became the seventh Duke of Devonshire on the death of his cousin in 1858. The other great landowner at that time was John Davis Gilbert, whose death was to occur in 1854 and be succeeded by his son Carew Davis Gilbert. These landowners were men of considerable vision and were well assisted by the agents they employed. Other railways were projected to come this way, and some reached beyond the drawing board stage. The line from Polegate to Hailsham was opened in 1849, and the Cuckoo line from Hailsham towards Tunbridge Wells was completed in 1880. Here was the age of railway construction, and the railway companies quickly undercut the stage coaches and drove them out of business. By 1852, most turnpike trusts were in debt or bankrupt. The railways largely emptied the roads of long-distance traffic, and the coaching houses, where they survived, dwindled to no more than local pubs. The original builders of railways were concerned to a great extent with the movement of minerals, manufactured goods, and produce, rather than the conveyance of people. This was very much so with Sussex, which was an agricultural county, but being near London, it was soon realised that the coastal development of towns would generate considerable passenger traffic. G.F. Chambers, in his book Eastbourne Memories, gives us a long chapter on railways with accounts on a number of projects for building alternative lines from London to the south coast, including Eastbourne, and of the competition that raged between the London Brighton Company and the South Eastern Company. Chambers, who was a Queen's councillor, took part in a number of inquiries on the promotion of railway bills, which led to their sanction in Parliament. In so many cases, the lines were never constructed, and much money was spent on the initial attempts. One local promotion is of interest. The two ground landlords, together with their agents, thought that a direct line between Eastbourne and New Haven via Seaford was necessary, particularly for the cheaper movement of seaborne coal and building materials from New Haven. This railway out of Eastbourne Station would have turned off the main line at Tutts Barn and passed to the west of Rodmill, having crossed the site of the new district hospital, and further on spoiling the prospect of the present Willingdon Golf Course. The line was to continue by tunnelling to East Dean, and again by tunnelling through Friston Hill, along the valley to West Dean, and over the Cookmere River. However, a new manager appointed at that time to the Brighton Company was hostile to the scheme, and the Enabling Act was repealed. Again, Carew Davis Gilbert had in mind the idea of creating a small marine resort at Burling Gap, with a branch railway from Polegate via Wanwick and Gevington and through Friston Hill to a station south of Burling Manor. This scheme was hatched late in the history of railway promotions, and when Davis Gilbert heard the first sound of the motor car, he forgot about his railway. One proposed line was from Hailsham to Uckfield via Chilling Lie, and one local guide map included this rural iron road in the print. But to come back to our real end of the line, the first Eastbourne station stood on that part of Upperton Road by the General Post Office. The present station is the fourth so erected and was completed in 1886. The opening of the Eastbourne Branch Railway on the 14th of May 1849 was the occasion for celebration and rejoicing. The preparations were of a very complete character, and the programme lasted fully 15 hours, almost from daylight till midnight. The excitement amongst the natives was very great, for many of them had never travelled by train or even seen a locomotive engine. The actual opening ceremony took place about midday, when a special train arrived from Brighton, carrying a number of officials of the railway company, and a brass band, which appropriately played, "See, the Conquering Hero Comes." A large party, we are told, sat down to an excellent cold collation, prepared by the landlord of the Gilbert Arms, which stood at the bottom of Grove Road, and was served in a large booth erected on land to the west of where the present library stands. The lunch was presided over by Mr. Freeman Thomas of Willingdon, and the company included many local luminaries. The usual complimentary toasts were given, and the remainder of the day was spent in sports of various kind, the festivities winding up with a grand display of fireworks.